today we'll be talking about the basic economic problem. So in essence, the basic economic problem is that there are not enough resources to satisfy our consumption. So in our society, we have a scarce number of resources, and because of this, choices have to be made on how we should use them. So the foundation of economic decisions are, what goods and services can we produce? How can we produce these goods and services? And who do we produce them for? There are not enough resources on Earth to satisfy humans' unlimited wants and needs. And so the basic economic problem involves working out how to allocate limited resources as effectively as possible to satisfy these unlimited wants and needs. Consumers have needs and wants that need to be satisfied. Needs are things that we cannot live without, such as water. Wants are things that people can live without, but we truly desire. For example, maybe a smartphone. This is achieved by economic activity and the production of goods and services. So just to recap the difference between a need and a want. A need is something we cannot live without, and a want is something we can live without, but we really would like. And if we consider the foundation of economic decisions, they are what we produce, how we produce it, and who we are producing it for. So now we're going to talk about the scarcity and allocation of resources. Scarcity just means that people need to make choices between goods and services, and resources must be allocated in a way that is seen to be rational. So it's up to economic agents to decide how we allocate resources. And the three main economic agents are producers, who are people and firms that produce goods or supply services. The consumers, who are people and firms who purchase goods and services. And the government, who establishes rules for the economy. Economic agents make decisions based on their various incentives. For example, for a firm, this could be profit maximisation. The producers must decide what products to make and the selling price of these products. Consumers decide what products to purchase and how much they want to spend on these products. And the governments decide how much they should get involved in the production and consumption processes. So what's economic activity then? Economic activity includes a wide variety of actions, whether this be the production of goods, such which are tangible products, or services, which are intangible products, or, on the other hand, it could be the consumption of said goods and services. And because resources are scarce, we are forced to ask three questions about economic activity: what, how, and who to produce for. So just to recap what we've covered, the three main economic agents are consumers, the governments, and producers. And traditionally, when we consider the main incentive for firms, in the private sector at least, it's always about profit. So given that scarcity means we have to make a choice, opportunity cost is central to understanding the allocation of resources. So the cost of one item can be seen as the lost opportunity to consume something else. And this is what we mean by opportunity cost. So in some instances, opportunity cost can be seen as a price. For example, if you buy a new bike for £300, then £300 measures the amount of consumption you have given up. Opportunity cost is a very useful concept when thinking about allocating resources. For example, how consumers use it to decide how they spend their earnings. In some cases, though, opportunity cost exceeds the monetary cost, and it's about time as well. Let's use the example of attending university. On top of the financial cost of tuition, you are also giving up the time that you could have been spent earning money at a paying job. Thus, the total opportunity cost is greater than the financial cost of university because of that lost potential of earnings in those 3 or 4 years. But what are the issues with opportunity costs? Because it's not a perfect measure. We must know that not all factors have alternatives, and some alternatives are just unknown. Agents may lack information on alternatives, and it can be difficult to switch some factors to another use. So when people make choices, they make a trade-off. If you buy a video game and you choose to do so, you cannot spend that income on going to the movies or the cinema. The opportunity cost can be best conceptualized as the next best alternative foregone. So in other words, what you would use the money for instead. So if you talk about the opportunity cost of attending a fee-paying sixth form school, it's not just the tuition fees, and obviously there is some degree of opportunity cost, so it's the tuition fees alongside the wage you would have received if you were working during that time period instead. So by that we mean that opportunity costs can sometimes exceed monetary costs. So we've kind of alluded to the presence of resources and allocating them. But what are these resources? Overall, we can split them into two vague groups: renewable resources and non-renewable resources. If we talk about non-renewable resources first, these are resources which are not infinite in their supply. This means that they are increasingly used up and their cost will get higher over time. Non-renewable resources include, for example, gas, coal, or oil. Renewable resources, on the other hand, mean that in theory, the resource comes in an unlimited supply. However, we must caveat that this actually depends on the rate of extraction. By this, we mean if the rate we consume the resource is quicker than the natural rate of production, the resource will become depleted and will have a finite supply. Renewable resources include things such as oxygen, wind energy, and solar energy. So in just revising some examples of non-renewable resources, we have things such as gas, coal, or oil. And for renewable, we have things such as solar or wind energy. And finally, if we go back and really hammer in what the basic economic problem is that we have a finite amount of resources and we need to learn how to allocate them to satisfy people's unlimited wants and needs. So the core of that is that we have something which is finite and we need to satisfy something which is infinite. And then if we're looking at our economic agents who help decide how these resources are allocated, we have producers, consumers, and governments. And when considering these economic agents, we know that the producers must decide what products to make and the selling price of these said products, whereas consumers decide what products to purchase and how much they want to spend on them. Thank you very much for listening to this episode about the basic economic problem. Next time, we're going to be covering production and possibility frontier curves and what that means in relation to efficiency.
If this episode has got you in the mood for more revision, then head over to senecalearning.com where you can revise all of your A-level subjects absolutely free. And if you're on Apple Podcasts or Anchor, then you will find a link in the bio. But if not, just type in senecalearning.com and you'll find us. While you're at it, if you could rate us 5 stars and subscribe or follow to all of our revised podcasts, which cover every subject you need, then that will help other people to find our podcasts.